Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Edition. I don't know why I'm talking like this. It's a little bit of Catherine Hepburn, a little goat boy. I don't know what's going on.
The studio smells like liver.
It's the worst. It's liver worst.
It's not, though.
Liver and onions, man. It's delicious. The telephone number, if you would like to join in the conversation tonight, is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160.
What if I want to join tomorrow night?
Same phone number.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure. We're here 7 nights a week, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., doing Free Talk Live. Different cast almost every night. So, if you want some variety in your life, you want to, get more freedom-oriented media in your life, feel free to listen all 7 days.
Yeah, we're here.
And you don't even have to listen live. You can listen to the archives over at freetalklive.com. Anyways, what day is it?
Star date something or other.
4/23.
You guys messed it up.
04/23.
No. You got to preface it with
star date.
Captain's log.
Well, I'm not the captain either.
But that doesn't mean you can't read the captain's log. I mean, haven't you ever read your friend's diary or your sister's diary or something, right? I know you have. Come on.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Not admitting to that on radio. Are you kidding?
I did.
I don't even know if my sister.
Jimmy is so cute.
I'm so mad at Dad. Right? Yeah.
My sister had a crush on Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
I don't know who that is.
The middle kid from Home Improvement.
Oh, wow.
Oh, see, Nick.
I thought you were talking about like a real person that she knew personally.
No, that makes zero sense for radio.
Wow, that's a guy with three.
I was like, what?
That's a guy with three first names.
Ew.
She had the cutouts of like Tiger Beat plastered all over her room.
Oh, yeah.
My sister had that of like Michael Jackson, Rick Springfield. One of the guys from Duran Duran, I don't know which guy.
They all Duran?
No, it's the, oh. It's the other guy, Duran.
Oh. Duran. Yeah.
the way you start this show is with Captain's Log. Though. No, that's the
Wrong
other show.
Show. Sorry.
Captain's Log, Stardate 04232023. There's a lot of two threes in there.
A lot of twos. Well, a lot of threes.
In the studio tonight, it is myself, the authentic Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass Buckshot Esquire, if you will. Joining me,
it's Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
How you guys doing?
Great. Chilling. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm a little tired. Got a lot of spring things going on. I'm a busy dude right now. But,
finally getting those April showers over here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What do they bring?
Mayflowers.
Yeah. What do Mayflowers bring?
Pilgrims.
Yeah.
What a pilgrim.
Bingo.
Bring.
Disease. Plague.
That is the correct answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and religion.
Yeah, and religion. And, oh, no, not Christianity.
Yeah. I'm having some technicalities here.
So let me just comment on that real quick, because you guys talked a little bit on last night's show.
About what?
The religion and government.
Yeah, yeah.
And whatnot. And I was... Hear me out, because I only thought of this like...
No, I don't want to.
In the car as I was driving here.
I'm
right,
just going to go there.
Maybe the separation of church and state wasn't that great of an idea.
Why do you say that?
Well, because the state has become a religion.
Yeah.
In all ways, except for officially.
And the religions as they are now, separate from the state, have no authority over anyone not in their religion.
Well, they don't even really have any authority over anyone in their religion. It's just
but they would claim it. They would claim it. Okay. Right?
Like, I mean, you can get kicked out of a church, you know, kicked out of the community.
I mean, I don't even know about
that. They have their own set of rules, right?
I smoked weed with my brother and this other kid, Jimmy, like in between Sunday school and the service. And then, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on if you're me or everybody else, for whatever reason, they sent the three of us in, like, the front row, right in front of the reverend, and he's at the pulpit, and he's given this, for him, he was sort of a monotone reverend, and, like, usually we just go to sleep or whatever, but he was, for him, giving a very dramatic sermon, and it was all about the high priest, right? And so whatever he said... That's what we did. We were all right. We were high. And he's like, and the high priest. We're like...
Cue the Beavis and Butthead laugh.
I mean, and we're trying to hold
season
it in.
Just started, by the way.
Where every one of us is all different shades of red, trying to, like, not laugh and not bust our gut. And every time he'd get around to saying the high priest, and there was something in there where he was reading, and the passage was, and then he was stoned. Right? And we were like... just trying so hard not to laugh.
They were trying to get you busted.
I used to make up parodies to the hymns.
Okay.
Right. So there's a hymn that goes, "They'll know we are Christians by our love." We would change that to breath.
Okay.
"They'll know we are Christians by our breath."
It tastes like unleavened bread and cheap wine.
There was this one song that was like, "I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together." Right. And we would just do. So it'd be like, "I am the church, you are the church," right? We were just doing the ch parts,
okay,
right, in between everybody else singing, cracking people up left and right, like it's a comedy routine, right? But it's and so we never got kicked out. Like we got a lot of dirty looks, and a lot of people were like, "You boys shouldn't misbehave like that," and all the old biddies like shaming us and all that kind of crap.
Right, but that's all they could do.
But some religions you can get kicked out of, like Scientology, the Mormons, like the more hardcore religions where you have to be more involved.
Yeah, Scientology is certainly very culty in that respect, where
the
like
J-dubs.
If you don't find or if you don't follow whatever the hell it is they're telling you to do, that like they're going to give you the boot.
Well, and you can be ostracized too, and I think it might be like Mormonism, or if you're
turn
Jehovah's
you into
Witness,
an ostrich?
Basically.
Ostracization.
So, some of them, if you get kicked out of the church, you can't, like, your family's not even allowed to talk to you. Yeah. You're just completely cut off from anyone within the church. And then if your family tries to talk to you, they can get in a lot of trouble, and they can get kicked out, too. So it's a whole weird...
Who are you more loyal to, your family or the church? It's like, why should I have to decide that? Like, anyway, what were you saying about the church before I got sidetracked and tangent?
Even as part of that discussion, right, the church's authority barely extends to their members, let alone members outside of the church, right?
Mm.
Whereas government, you know, when you separate it, right, the government now usurps everybody into some common group that they have the authority over. And if you had kept it, you know, unseparated, the church would have, you know, the authority, but...
Well, what it did is it took the church out of the position of having the guns.
Okay.
Right? I mean,
which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Well, it kind of is because you've centralized it to the government.
Also, what I'm saying, if the church had the guns, right, if they were trying to impose their will, right, on a different religion, right, you could see some pushback against that because you'd have religions... They're like, "Well, I don't believe what you say, Mr. Church." Whereas now the government just takes on everybody. It's like, you have to follow it even if you don't believe because we've got the guns.
Let's just go ahead and take this caller right away. We've got Ricky calling from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Ricky, you're on Free Talk Live.
That would be the Confederate Commonwealth of Pennsylvania there.
Oh, the
brother.
Confederate Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, my bad.
Okay, no doubt. And also Brother Richie and, of course, Sister Nikki. Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, you kind of read my mind, Captain, you know.
Oh, boy, yeah. Let's keep it clean on this show.
Excuse me?
Let's keep it clean on this show.
Oh, no doubt. But that's the funny thing. You know, that was the funny thing about last night. It was getting out of radio mode. That was the funny part. I was a little unnatural because, I mean, naturally, I'm pretty, how should I say? Well, with a certain four-letter word, I'm very frequent with its various variations, you know, generally speaking.
Randy?
But, excuse me?
Randy?
A four-letter word?
Oh, that's five letters.
All right, but nonetheless, no, it was funny. No, you know what? I might as well.
I don't want to reminisce. What'd you call about today?
That's all right. No, you know, I was saying about my concept last night. You know, I'll say a little more about it. I just don't want to give out the name and stuff. You know, it was it's a pretty good concept.
So, like, people didn't probably listen to Beard Talk Live last night.
I didn't even listen to Beard Talk.
Yeah, so you got to when you say I want to take on my concept, you have to tell us what the concept is again, because I'm the only one listening that has any clue what you're talking about, and even then I might not have any clue because I tend to forget these things overnight.
You got
to
cue up Captain's favorite guy, previous Leo.
After my voyeur story, you know, I mentioned about, you know, a concept for the future of making adult video. And the concept's pretty simple. I mean, I'm looking at amateurs because I know that's what people are looking into. I mean, that's always very popular. You know, they're going to be 1 hour videos each. And here's the concept.
Too long. That is very long.
Yeah, but see, there's a
like
reason.
12 times too long.
Well, okay.
If I'm doing my math correctly,
clap, you can always go to something like
Richie Rich, Minute Man,
here on
Free
like
Talk
that,
Live.
You know? Huh?
I was just telling these guys that Ricky from the, what was it?
Confederate Commonwealth of Porn.
Yeah, he's an aspiring pornographer.
Okay.
Do you own a pornograph?
Excuse me?
Do you own a pornograph?
A pornograph, like a phonograph?
Yeah, except for porn.
No.
Is it like a kaleidoscope and you just look into it?
No, yeah, that's a kaleidoscope where all you see is just this guy named Clyde.
Oh, gosh.
Well, the concept is, without giving the name out, because nobody's going to screw around with this, is I'm going to use individuals.
Are you afraid to give it out?
That we're actually, why is everybody always got to talk over me?
Why does everybody else have to talk over you?
Yeah, I don't know. Why is that? I can converse with people. I just don't understand that.
I don't know that we're capable.
People tend to get long-winded, we'll and you have to stop them at the point you want to make a point on. Otherwise, you lose the opportunity to make a point on that point.
What was your point, Richie? I missed it because you were talking over me.
You had mentioned that you're afraid to give out the name, but you don't think anyone's going to steal it. So my question was, if you're not concerned with people usurping the name from you, what's the fear of giving it out?
No, the name I'm not going to give out, but the concept I see no harm in. And it kind of goes like this. I'm going to use amateurs because I used to sell porn for 10 years. I know what sells and why.
Wait. You sold porn for 10 years?
Yes.
Okay. I think I said this last night, but porn sells itself. Like,
not true.
Someone's got to collect the check.
I wish it did. You know, this was back in the 90s. I wish it did, Captain. But that being said, the idea is to use people born in Pennsylvania. I'm not looking at people moved here. I'm looking at people born here.
Okay.
You know, that's going to be the niche, you know, Captain?
No,
so locals, you love Pennsylvania.
He does.
I don't know if the greater porn audience wants to see a bunch of Pennsylvanians getting it on. Not the ideal
You know, Hershey Park, you
okay.
Got the,
well, all right.
You know, the, what are they called? The Amish, you could do a whole Amish thing.
Are you going to have, like, have these scenes in historic places, Ricky?
Not necessarily, you know. But I was
first time
about
Amish chick on the Hershey Highway type of thing?
About it.
Okay.
Well, one of the things I was thinking about, I don't know if I'd go this far. Because out of necessity, like I said last night, for the first batch anyways, you know, I'm going to be in the first batch. And I'm wondering, maybe I should wear my Southern Cross in that, you know, at the beginning, you know?
You lost me. You're going
to
be in it.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wants to see that, Ricky. Thank you for the call. 603-283-6160. If I'm wrong.
Especially the thickness of the glasses he'd have to put on to find his way in.
If you want
to
see Ricky from the Uncommonwealth of Pennsylvania in some adult erotica, let us know. Or if you don't, give us a call, let us know. Either way, we'll take votes and we'll see if the audience prefers or doesn't prefer.
Can we start a chat room poll?
Yeah, we absolutely should. I was just thinking that. Somebody posted on Twitter, Facebook.
Get on that.
All right, on the break.
Come on, co-host.
I'm really engaged right now. I'm going to have to wait.
Co-hosting, right? I can't steer this ship by myself. I need some co-hosts.
Yeah.
That's what we're here for, Kevin.
Grab a paddle.
All right. Ricky might use that, so be careful.
Okay. That's trademarked, by the way. Can't use it.
He's so afraid of his like multi-million-dollar porn niche idea getting out into the public.
So basically, the only thing was that they're in Pennsylvania. That was it.
He doesn't want to move to Hollywood.
That was like the big kicker.
I don't really understand what he's getting at. He doesn't say his idea very concisely.
Yeah.
He says a whole bunch of words without saying much of anything.
Well, the concept, right? He didn't want to share the name, but the concept was he's going to star in porn with local Pennsylvania amateurs. But that's the concept.
That's a very, I don't know, it's a very interesting way just to be like, oh, I'm just going to get paid to bang all these local chicks. You know what I mean? Like that's really the what he's trying to do here.
I don't know what it is like in other states, but I'm told that in New Hampshire, prostitution is illegal, but making adult films is not.
Exactly.
So all you need do in the stead, like if you're a person who's trying to hire a prostitute,
record it.
I'm not hiring you for this. I'm hiring you to film this.
Yeah.
And then there you go.
Boom. Problem solved.
Make sure you get a license from the state first. So unlicensed porn production.
That'd be a fun trial.
Oh, man. All right.
What are we doing? See Ricky naked.
I don't even know what he looks like, and that's scary.
Yeah.
All right. Can you imagine that, though? That, like, his wife's, ow, ow. Oh. Oh, baby.
Oh, man.
The audio would be hilarious. It's like Guns N' Roses. I don't remember what song it is, but like in one of the songs, there's like...
They recorded.
It's like Axel and his girl at the time or whatever.
No, I think it was another band. Yeah, it was a bandmate's girl.
It was a bandmate's girl.
She cheated on him. And they recorded it and put it in the song.
They were like, hey, here it is on the album. How do you like that?
Yep.
Chad move right there.
Absolutely.
What were we talking about before Ricky called?
Separation of church and state.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. I, of course, whenever I talk about that, I the next step that I want to see is separation of money and state.
Okay. Yeah.
Right? Because once you separate money from the state is powerless.
I mean, yes. And
with the exception of the guns. And the nukes.
We already have the ability to separate money from the state, right? What we have not successfully done
is implemented it.
Is wide adoption of that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like we have Bitcoin now, but before that there was silver and gold. And you could still trade in that and barter however you want to.
Well, that was the original thing.
It still is. The whole reason the gold backs exist is because Utah went like, no, yeah, gold is legal tender here.
Yep.
And well, let's figure out that technology and make that a thing.
Yep.
But so it's always been there. It's Gresham's law, right, that prevents it from getting adopted on a wide use case, right?
Yet.
Maybe. Like, it's a law.
I mean, I think when the USD really tanks, people are going to have no other choice but to go back to either trading goods, like either you're trading salt and, you know,
ammunition.
Either you're trading physical goods or precious metals or crypto if somebody already has, like, those capabilities and they have that set up.
Yeah.
Which is fine, right? But even if Gresham's law is accurate,
what is Gresham's law? Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Bad money drives out good money. So people will, given the choice, people will spend worthless money before they will spend good money.
I mean, yeah, I'm guilty of that.
Right.
Because why would I want to hang on to my worthless money?
Exactly.
If somebody else wants to take it, sure.
Exactly.
Have at it.
So even in the crypto space, right, you're going to want to hang on to your more valuable crypto.
Yeah.
And daily trade with the least valuable crypto. And the least valuable crypto will be, you know, the ones that people trade the most and become the de facto tradable money because they want to hang on to the good stuff and not get rid of it.
Hmm.
And I was, you know, we've talked about this off air, but I was once called like a bad activist by a bad activist here in town, right? Because I didn't want to spend my Bitcoin at the restaurant.
Oh, right.
Like, why would I do that? I have Federal Reserve notes I'd like to get rid of. Right,
and I'm sure that restaurant would love to accept it.
Right,
that's what their bills are paid in.
Right,
so
why would I do that? And I go, well, it's for the activism, man. I go, well, fine, but if you're spending Bitcoin at a restaurant or any other crypto, Bitcoin Cash or Dash or whatever they were using, right, and then you immediately go and like repurchase that, so your crypto coffers remain
the
same.
A bad financial decision.
Well, all you're doing is like you're doing the same transaction I am, just one stage down the line.
Yeah.
And then calling yourself a good activist for doing it.
I mean, there is some weight to actually spending crypto in gold backs and whatever at local businesses, because we've seen a lot of local businesses are like, well, you know, you guys told us to set up the, you know, capabilities to accept crypto.
Right.
No one came here and used crypto, so then they stop accepting it.
Right.
So there is, I mean, I do think it is important to at least every once in a while, you know, use crypto.
But it's a bad financial move.
I mean, yeah.
Right.
You're
taking a hit and absorbing a cost.
I guess it just depends. Because if I were to spend crypto, sure, I wouldn't turn around and buy more.
Why not?
I don't really buy crypto. I accept it for my services, and I'm more than happy to do so. Exactly. So I'm more than happy to accept crypto for my services, which kind of, and I spend crypto a lot.
See, and this is
another, if it's convenient.
This is another caveat, right? If the business only accepted crypto or goldbacks or silver, but then you would have to spend it there.
Yeah.
And businesses should be already incentivized to do so, because that's the good bunny.
I mean, I give a discount. If people want to pay in crypto, you know,
yeah,
I'll give it, depending on what the service is, but sometimes 10% off.
But either way,
I'd prefer that.
If businesses had the choice between only accepting goldbacks or only accepting dollars,
mm-hmm,
right, the more valuable choice to make is I only accept goldbacks, and you figure it out, right? Because I don't want this worthless USD, these worthless Federal Reserve notes, right? But then you got the you know, legal tender laws, which I don't really think applies. Like, I've had this discussion with somebody else. I don't think legal tender laws apply to most, you know, what we'd consider retail establishments, because it's for all debts, public and private. And you haven't incurred a debt yet. You're making a trade. And you should be able to, they should be able to set the standards on what they're willing to accept in exchange for their goods. And they, as a vendor, mm-hmm, as, you know, as a producer of things, should set the standard that I accept, you know, gold and silver and cryptocurrency, you know, or a premium, if you're wanting to give me your worthless Federal Reserve notes. And that could maybe change the course of how that works. Otherwise, people will spend the worthless ones, and they'll spend the worthless crypto if it gets to that as well.
603-283-6160 is the number here at the Free Talk Live studio. It is Marathon Muff Sunday. We'll tell you all about what that means coming up.
It's nothing to do with Ricky.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. A Republican candidate for president isn't committing to signing a party loyalty oath to support the 2024 nominee.
I don't prefer party loyalty oaths, but it's important to have the competition. I want to participate in the debate.
Speaking on Fox News Sunday, former Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson did not answer directly if he would back former President Trump if he wins the GOP nomination. Fire sends folks headed for the exits at Disneyland.
A giant animatronic dragon burst into flames on Saturday night. The head of the 45-foot-tall Maleficent dragon caught fire in the middle of the show, Fantasmic. The production was stopped as the fire spread. There are no reports, though, of injuries.
Jeff Schell, the CEO of NBC Universal, is out after admitting to an inappropriate relationship with a female employee. Dave Collins, USA News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Delay on the word back there.
Oh, yeah, that's weird.
I'll have to check the delay, the piece of rack gear called the delay. See what's going on there.
No, happened again.
That's weird. Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Is that an echo? 603-283-6100
is the phone number here in the studio tonight at Free Talk Live. That's the Spanish guy, Manuel Delay.
Oh, got it, man.
All right.
In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
It's Sneaky.
And Richie Rich.
Sneaky? You like, what are you like, Cobra Commander?
No, I'm summoning, you know, like
all
a
your
snake
S words with S. We're sizzling. So tonight's episode is titled Marathon Muff. Now, disappointing Ricky, of course, who, of course, disappoints us. It has nothing to do with the slang term for muff.
Common parlance.
Yeah, we're talking about, a blooper, a blunder.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about the little sleeve that you put your hands into.
Nope. Not one of those either. Okay. Although, good thought. I hadn't thought of that one. This from RT. Marathon runner disqualified for using a car.
So is they, do they specify that you're not allowed to use a car? Is that in the rules? Yeah, it's in the rules. I need to look at the rule book.
These are good questions. Scottish
it
runner.
It is 2023, so you never know.
Huh.
I identify as a Buick.
I identify as a Pontiac. I identify as a Nissan. What do you identify as?
Porsche.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Scottish runner Josiah Josiah Zakrzewski drove for 2.5 miles during this year's GB Ultras. Scottish ultra marathon. It's not just a marathon.
Yeah.
It's an ultra marathon.
You got to get out and drive for part
it's like
of
it. Yeah, it's a triathlon. So for part of it, you drive. For part of it, you ride your bike.
No, a triathlon is different than an ultra marathon, I assume, because why would they have two different words?
Understood.
Scottish ultra marathon runner Josiah has been disqualified for using a car during a race in Manchester earlier this month. He was caught after GPS data showed her covering 1 mile faster than humanly possible. The 47-year-old runner finished in third place at this year's GB Ultras Manchester to Liverpool race.
She drove and didn't even win.
Didn't even win. Came in third. Fail.
Why bother cheating if you're not going to actually win the race?
Fail.
That's a great question.
However, the director, Wayne Drinkwater, told BBC on Tuesday that he subsequently discovered she had gained an unsporting competitive advantage during a section of the event.
I'm surprised nobody noticed that she got into the car and started driving. Like, they found out because of the GPS, not because somebody saw her get into the car.
I mean, there's a lot of people running a marathon.
I mean, but still.
So, you know, you take a break.
You'd think that'd be pretty obvious.
What it though?
You jump into a car and drive away, and then jump out of the car and then back to the, the racetrack?
I'm pretty sure. Well, we'll get to that. Drinkwater said that the race organizers received a tip suggesting that Josiah had cheated, and upon reviewing GPS tracking data, discovered that she had taken vehicle transport for 4 kilometers of the 80-kilometer route. That's about 2.5 miles for you Americans. The data showed.
Which is most of you.
The data showed Zakrzewski covering a mile in a minute 40. Well, hang on. Wasn't there such a thing as a 1 minute mile?
No, 4 minute mile.
A 4 minute mile. Okay. All right.
That was the big threshold.
You can tell I've never run one. I did once buy tickets to attend something called the Lard Bottom 1K.
Yeah.
And it was a sweet race. They had
it's a great theme.
They had. Donut stops along the way instead of like stops for water in a regular marathon. They had donut stops, and you could get beer too. So you get like a
That's
beer
awesome.
And a donut. Like you get like a quarter K down the road. It's like from here to there. You're like, oh, I'm famished and I'm thirsty. I better have a beer and a donut before I take on this second quarter of 1K of 1 kilometer. Anyway. They discovered that she took a car. The data showed Josiah covering a mile in a minute 40. One of the runner's friends told the BBC that she feels genuinely sorry for cheating and did so because the race didn't go according to plan and she was feeling sick and tired and wanted to drop out.
Yeah, like everybody else running a marathon.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, if to catch her, right, you got to see her leave. But by that, if you're running in the marathon, right, you're already past her by the time she dips out to go get into the car. And then because she drove so far up ahead, you're not going to catch up to her and see her get back on the track.
Zakrzewski is an accomplished runner and won the 48-hour race at the Taipei Ultra Marathon in Taiwan back in February.
Allegedly now. That's kind of call into question.
Covering a world record 255 miles across the 2 days. Can you imagine running 255 miles?
That sounds terrible.
So in 2 days?
I'd rather die.
There's a story about like an Aboriginal dude who ran the Australian like coast to coast marathon, like barefoot.
Coast to coast.
Right. But he ran it straight. Everybody else would, you know, run for 16 hours and go to sleep and then pick up and run again. And he just never stopped running.
What?
And
when they Forrest Gump.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
The Gump of fun.
Then I turned around and I started running the other way. No, but they interviewed.
I feel like I've heard of that before.
Yeah, because it's a true story. But he ran, and then when they interviewed him afterwards, they're like, "Why didn't you stop to sleep?" I was like, "No one told me I was supposed to." He just thought you just ran, and so
he's just
did.
Like cracked out.
And
like,
just didn't know.
Yeah.
Just didn't know you.
Come on, you got to plan this.
Well, I'll find the story for you on the break or something.
I say that because that's what I'm thinking in this story. Like, this wasn't just like, oh, I'm running this race. I'm feeling a little tired. I'm just going to duck out, get into a car,
and then
get out and finish the race. That you have to even plan this.
Uber.
You have to plan
this. Yeah, somebody would be waiting, right?
Yeah. Or you had to know that you were going to cheat at this specific spot, park a car there with a key in it or keep it tucked in your shorts or whatever, right? You know, duck out into the bushes, get in the car, drive down the road, ditch the car somewhere that you can get it later, right? And then continue the race or whatever. So
and still finish third.
And still finish third. So there has to be some prior planning here. This
oh,
was,
absolutely.
This was premeditated.
She probably always does this. You know
that's what I'm saying.
I don't want to accuse her of it, but
it's
a little sketchy.
You did just accuse her of it.
I did, but...
You didn't want to.
Just making a light speculation that quite possibly she may have cheated in the past.
It puts an asterisk on any of her previous victories.
Let's go to some of your calls and thoughts. We have an unscreened caller. What is your name, please? You're on the radio. Hello, unscreened caller.
What do you like to cook on the Bobby?
No. I already ate dinner, thanks.
What do you like to cook on the Bobby?
No, thanks. I already ate dinner. Is that all you have to say?
On the Bobby. What do you mean on the Bobby?
There's a lot of background noise. All right.
Hey, thanks for the call.
That was terrible.
Let's go to this other call.
You suck as a prank caller.
But tell everybody what your name is.
This is Major Payne.
Hey, Major. What's on your mind,
Sober Payne? Sober Payne.
Just a quick Ricky back. He was talking about wanting to wear his Southern Cross. Makes me wonder if he's planning on being the high priest in his movie here or something. It's getting all too weird.
Are you going to audition for his movie, Major?
No, thanks. Mickey, okay. Don't be summering your serpent spirit because he might want to put you in a movie, too. You don't want to get involved in that foolishness.
I kindly decline.
Exactly my point. But, okay,
I mean, you could be an extra.
I want to hold. I'm the girl that holds the microphone, you know?
You could be churning butter in the background.
Oh, in the Amish films? Okay.
Exactly.
Now I'm thinking about Weird Al, where, like, was it Florence Henderson?
I don't know.
In the Amish Paradise
video? Okay, I haven't seen the video.
Yeah, churning butter.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Minute after minute, hour after hour. Yeah, I would totally be an extra in Ricky's porn film.
That sounds like the right character. I remember her as Nurse Ratched. That was unforgettable there.
Well,
you were talking about earlier as far as using ammunition as currency.
Yeah, in fact, when people go to a bar and they do shots, right? You know, the shot glass.
That's exactly what I was going to bring up. That's how I got named that.
Yep. Yeah. It was you would just turn over one bullet and like bartender, let me have a drink, and you would exchange that bullet for one, you know, 1 ounce pour, half ounce, one and a half, whatever a shot glass.
Sounds fair.
And that's how it got called a shot.
See, and even that, are you going to turn over your expensive bullet? No. You give him the cheapest bullet you're carrying for the cheapest gun you got.
Yeah.
This is my son's rifle.
Well, liquor also has a wide value. So, yeah. I mean, what ammo do you got? It depends what liquor I'm going to give you.
All right, fair. Yeah. All right.
Major?
Well, this came into popularity quite common after... after the Sioux were defeated, after they annihilated Custer at Little Bighorn,
mm-hmm.
Well, they sent cavalry after them hard into the Black Hills, and that was the same time gold was discovered.
Right.
So they were having a big problem with soldiers deserting and, you know, trading their pistol for a pickaxe and a pan and trading their bullets for shots at the bar. So that's when it gained extreme popularity, I would speculate.
Fun fact, I have actually panned for gold in South Dakota.
Wow.
Yeah.
And near for gold at Knott's Berry Farm.
Somewhere near Spearfish Canyon there in the Black Hills.
Did you at least come up with some dust?
Yeah, one of my ex-girlfriends stole it. I had a little vial that had the, you know, whatever gold flakes in it that I was able to achieve through panning and then, you know, put it into this little vial of, I don't even know, I don't think it was water. I think it was something else that you put the gold in, some other
liquid. Okay. To, you know, so when you shake it up, it doesn't, like, I don't know, affect the gold or something. I don't know.
I don't know if I had any liquid.
Maybe it was water. But it was in a liquid anyway, in a little vial. And, yeah, I broke up with this girl and, like, you know, we separated our stuff. And we were both moving out of an apartment that we lived in. And, you know, it wasn't until I had moved into my new place and got everything unpacked that I was like, hey.
Now you got me wondering where mine is.
Yeah, what? Let that be a lesson to all y'all holding gold or whatever. Like, you know, don't let your ex run off of it. That's all I'm saying.
So last night, you and Ian, at the beginning of the show, were talking about this little metallic card that you can cut this piece out for to make an AR-15 fully automatic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Auto sear.
Right. All right. So I came up with a theory. If I was this dude's defense attorney, because correct me if I'm wrong, Ian said that some guy that claimed to be a machinist came upon three Jamokes out playing with an AR-15 with one of these gizmos in and couldn't get it to operate properly. But they had two cards that hadn't been cut out. So he conned them into giving them the cards, and when he did it, he couldn't get the freaking thing to work either. Now, the other thing is there was the only thing they had was video of this guy in Wisconsin that made it, you know, that actually got one to work, theoretically.
Yeah.
So my question to the feds would have been, well, did you actually take one of these and make one that worked?
I believe.
Or are you just pretending that this part just, you know, functions?
No, I believe that, in fact, whoever the law enforcement agency was here, FBI,
ATF.
Thank you. ATF. I believe the article said that they did take and try one and also were unable to make it work. So the feds themselves couldn't make it work.
If it doesn't work, then how are they prosecuting this person?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's already been found guilty.
Bully's going to bull, yeah. Right? Like, bullies are going to bully. That's just how it is, and it doesn't matter what the law says. We've gone over, I don't know how many stories here on Free Talk Live where you're like, how is that even breaking the law? Well, because the law says it is. That's how. Because they have all the guns to point at you and say, and also jury was involved.
To be fair, speaking of pointing guns, if you point a gun at somebody and you pull the trigger and it jams, right, because it malfunctions, you're still in a lot of hot water, right? It's not murder.
I mean,
but it could be attempted murder.
Yes, right? But I just still... I don't even know this guy's name, but I don't understand how what he did was breaking the law, because it's like, oh, well, you had the intent.
So when I got,
like, what if I had that tattooed on my arm? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Oh, is it just, it's just illegal to even have it written on a piece of paper?
Right.
When I got to the studio tonight before we went on the show, I had the captain Google some words.
I did.
Yeah.
And the ATF in the past, was it 2004?
Mm-hmm.
Has declared a shoelace to be a machine gun.
Right.
So,
like, this is, and that's what they were saying. They were saying that these little pieces of metal themselves were machine guns,
right.
Even though that doesn't make any sense.
Right. They classify them as a machine gun. And all it is a drawing on a piece of metal. Like,
yeah.
You have to cut this thing out with some sort of, like, laser cutting device to make it accurate, right? To get this piece cut out of this sheet of metal that's about the size of a credit card or so.
Sure.
Yeah.
To get it. And then, hopefully you did it right. Then you have to, like, disassemble and reassemble the AR-15 and then go test it, right? And if you did it wrong, yeah, try again.
Yeah, well, I mean, the disassemble, reassemble is not that complex.
It's common to people who own them, of course, yes. But I'm just saying that, like, even the ATF themselves, if I'm remembering the article correctly, were like, yeah, we tried it, we couldn't get it to work. And the fact is, like if even if they were fully cut out, even if the guy was selling these things fully cut out, ready to go, all polished and, you know, deburred and all that kind of stuff, ready to go, that part in and of itself is not a machine gun.
Exactly. You can't call that a machine gun. It doesn't even make any sense.
But that's, the ATF has a long history of doing just that.
So what's up with, like, the shoelace?
Someone used the shoelace, tied it around the trigger, whatever, and turned it into an auto fire, right, or a machine gun.
So the shoelace is a...
And so the ATF went, well, because it was a shoelace that converted into a machine gun, the shoelace is now the part that is classified as a machine gun. Right?
Some kind of a hillbilly bump stock.
Sure.
That's,
yeah.
And,
but
that's nuts.
Here's the thing with the ATF, right? They have their own set of rules, right, and their own set of, like, definitions on how to classify things, right? And one of the big ones recently was that neither part of an AR rifle is technically the gun because it doesn't fit all the definitions. Right? Like the lower receiver,
yeah,
the upper receiver.
Yeah, it needs to be all together.
It needs to be all together.
Yeah, exactly.
To have all the parts. So you could buy the lower receiver separate from the upper receiver, and technically you're not buying a gun
exactly.
In any case. Right? So they have to classify something as the part that makes this a machine gun.
So it's definitely the shoelace.
In that case, yes, because without the shoelace, not a machine gun, right? Semi-automatic, right? And then you put this part on there, and all of a sudden it's a machine gun, so that's the part, right? You have a normal semi-automatic AR-15 rifle, you drop in this metal piece, and if it's done correctly, all of a sudden it's a machine gun, that's the classification.
Right,
I'm not saying it's right, that's the justification.
Here's a letter. Dear Mr. Blakely, this refers to your letter of February 6, 2004 to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, Firearms Technology Branch, in which you inquired about the legality of a small section of string intended for use as a means for increasing the cycling rate of a semi-automatic rifle. As you may be aware, the National Firearms Act, 26 U.S.C. 5845, defines machine gun to include the following. Any weapon that shoots, is designed to shoot, or can be readily restored to shoot automatically more than one shot without manual reloading by a single function of the trigger. This term shall also include the frame or receiver of any such weapon, any part designed and intended solely and exclusively, or a combination of parts designed and intended for use in converting a weapon into a machine gun, and any combination of parts from which a machine gun can be assembled if such parts are in the possession or under the control of a person, Boulding added. In 1996, FTB examined and classified a 14-inch long shoestring, all the way back to 1996. This letter was written in 2004, by the way.
Okay.
In 96, FTB examined and classified a 14-inch long shoestring with a loop at each end. The string was attached to the cocking handle of a semi-automatic rifle and was looped around the trigger and attached to the shooter's finger.
Good to know.
The device caused the weapon to fire repeatedly until finger pressure was released from the string. Because this item was designed and intended to convert a semi-automatic rifle into a machine gun, FTB determined that it was a machine gun as defined in 26 USC.
Well, this is good information to know because that sounds way easier than the Lightning Link. I got one of those.
Don't admit that on the radio.
Oh, did
all
am
my
I the
shoes
only
are
person?
Velcro.
Well, I tell you, it's a good thing they don't have a list of all the people that have a copy of the Anarchist Cookbook because they'd be coming
I know,
after
no
all.
Kidding.
This particular article says in 2007 the ATF decided the shoestring alone was not a machine gun. So some years later, a couple of decades apparently, it was only considered one when added to a semi-automatic rifle in order to increase its rate of fire. So they reversed the ruling in 2007. So you know this is just another example of the ridiculousness of government classifying things that aren't things as things.
Right.
Yeah, definitions mean nothing at this point.
Man hung to death in jail cell by automatic weapon, right?
Depending on its intended use.
If this guy that they're prosecuting for this credit card piece of metal here, if he has the wherewithal to file an appeal, this fact that they could not even get the thing to function would be the dead horse I would have to beat, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, to you and I, that appears like it would be an effective defense. But we already know that juries will convict inanimate objects.
And did. Right?
They and have. Yeah. And so that's what happened in this case. The jury was just like, yep, he's guilty.
Right.
I wonder how many ham sandwiches have actually been sent to jail.
I think only like three.
Well, when they confiscate the money, right, they charge the money with the crime.
Yeah.
And then you have to go prove it innocent to get your money back. So.
Well, if the ham sandwich ever did get sent to jail, I hope it was still attached to the pig. That's all I got.
Major, thanks for the call. We appreciate you. 603-283-6160 if you'd like to join the conversation tonight. It makes no sense to anyone why you would classify a piece of sheet metal with a drawing on it.
Right.
As a machine gun.
So the latest one that I'm aware of the ATF going like well above beyond their purview, right, is the pistol braces for handicapped people.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Too many people were using that as a loophole to have short barreled rifles. Right.
And why does that even matter? Like, why do they care if people even have short barrel rifles?
They shouldn't.
Yeah, you're right. They shouldn't.
I mean. So, you know?
Yeah.
Tactically for home defense, they're probably better than what you're using.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
So, if they're going to raid your house, they don't want you coming around the corner
I guess so.
Yeah,
but
like,
it's just so ironic because when you think of people who really need something for self-defense, I mean, I would say handicapped people are on that list of the people that I want to have guns to defend themselves.
But you normies ruined it for the rest of us, and now we can't have our pistol.
Hey, I didn't do it.
In fact, there was a I don't have it here tonight, but there was a story about a person in a wheelchair who used their gun in defense of themselves just recently, and you know, stopped a bad guy.
Yep.
Right. The problem with the media, of course, the media only reports on. The horrible things, right?
Yeah.
They never report on, like, hey, a guy tried to rob a bunch of people, and this one guy shot him and stopped him, right? They don't report on that because it's not...
Typically they get stopped before it turns into a mass shooting,
right,
which isn't newsworthy.
Right.
Yeah.
So if it bleeds, it leads. If it doesn't bleed, it does not lead. Therefore,
but
you
once
don't
again,
care about it.
With the pistol braces, right, the ATF takes once what was legal, you know, up until this point... Right, and anyone who now owns one is looking at felony charges, or they have to go register it as an NFA item, right, or turn it in or destroy it, right, even though it has a legitimate function for, you know, a specific audience of handicapped individuals, right? So those handicapped individuals got to go pay their tax stamp, you know, or face felony charges, potentially.
603-283-6160 if you'd like to join our conversation here tonight at Free Talk Live. Coming up, we've got more Marathon Muff and the number two story at some point tonight.
Hopefully in the second hour.
More coming up. Free Talk Live.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.